right, hello and welcome to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with the latest in Cork sporting action. Munster in big trouble of missing out on Champions Cup places after a 31-34 point loss to the Bulls in South Africa today. Connacht just 1 point off them. Cork City lost out 2-0 in the Women's Premier Division today against Treaty United, and that was thanks to a brace from Katie Lawless. The men's team had better fortune last night as they beat Athlone Town 4-1 here at home in the Cross. Normally we'd hear from manager Barry Robson, but we've so much timely audio to get to with fixtures tomorrow, it will have to wait until tomorrow's Big Red Bench. We're going to kick things off with the big one, and Croke Park did interviews during the week with all the counties involved in GAA League final action, and they spoke to Ian Maguire ahead of Cork's tasty Division 2 football clash against Old Edmund Meath in GAA HQ tomorrow.
Cork senior football captain Ian Maguire, a satisfying Sunday for Cork to get Division 1 status once again.
Yeah, geez, it was a serious occasion, I suppose, on multiple fronts, but obviously we got relegated, I think, 2016. It's been a long journey up. We went, obviously, going from Division 3 and then getting back into Division 2 and then fighting for, I suppose, Sam Maguire status and a lot of other things, and then to finally kind of have that push this year to Division 1. It's been an incredible journey, plenty of ups and downs, but from a Cork football perspective, just brilliant to be back in the top tier of league football. And it's a funny one because it puts us in a great place for next year, but in the current standings and where it is now, it's given us great momentum going into championship, but ultimately now we have a league final and a chance of winning a cup in Croke Park on Sunday, which is huge. It's both in the moment, it's brilliant, but also for going forward, it's given us a good launch pad for next year.
That's really important, Dean, to be operating in Division 1. And I'm sure when you were growing up, Cork were a top Division 1 team, winning an All-Ireland, competing strongly in the latter stages. It is a vital thing to be in Division 1.
Yeah. I don't give away my age here, now, but 31, like, but I remember Cork winning Division 2 in 2008, I think, if my history is correct, and then, you know, obviously going on to do that 3 in a row with the leagues in Division 1, and that being such a great launch pad for that great team. And for us ourselves, with Division 1, it's so competitive. No different, to be fair, Division 2 has been unbelievably competitive, and the stakes are so high with, you know, the Sam Maguire kind of Talisman Cup stipulations, but that Division 1, the level of competition that's there, to be up at that level is huge for going forward. And then it's playing the different teams, whether that's Kerry, who are the All-Ireland champions, you know, Armagh, Galway, etc. So it's great to be back at the top table. It's been well earned, but I suppose the challenge for us now, obviously going into next year now, will be obviously maintaining that status and taking one further. But it's a great launch pad because I suppose it's short-term success with long-term gain going into next year, you know.
When you had the setback in this league campaign, the response was very good.
Yeah. To be fair, it's the old expression. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, you know, and the league is very much defined by that because it's very rare a team goes unbeaten in any of the leagues. I don't know if anybody has been unbeaten with Division 1 all the way to Division 4. So, you're not going to be rocking a 10 out of 10 performance and a perfect unblemished win record. I suppose we were ultimately disappointed with our performance against Derry, but in the overall scheme of things, we lost 2 points. It wasn't the end of the world. But I suppose we were just disappointed with our performance. But the sign of anything, we've shown plenty of resilience over the years. And we bounced back straight away. Now, there was obviously a gap in the league, which gave us a bit of extra time. But, we bounced back straight away with a good performance against Kildare. But ultimately it was 2 points, and we tried to keep it very short-term focused. It's one game at a time. You can't take the highs too high and you can't take the lows too low, you know. We were delighted with how we responded against Kildare, and then furthermore, we were delighted that we backed it up against Tyrone. And in fairness, one of the narratives around the group the last couple of years was, we have that kind of up and down tendencies, win one, lose one, So the fact that we were consistently winning games and back-to-backs was huge for the group, just from our own psychological perspective as well.
A good standard Division 2, Ian, with lots of teams who would fancy themselves to be in the mix for silverware, both in the league and in championship.
Yeah, I suppose historically Division 2 has been gas because I think Armagh, Dublin, Bow won Division 2, I think, and won the All-Ireland. And obviously with promotion last year, Ross Common, Monaghan put Donegal to the pin of their collar. It's been unbelievably competitive, and you see it's they feel like they, for us anyway, it's been like championship games just from January onwards, you know. Like, can't underestimate the importance of that first day out in Park Cree for ourselves against Cavins, you know. It was a tight game and we pulled it out. You don't want to say we pulled out of fire, we made enough good plays to win that game, but then you turn around and then you just, like, to compare it to Cavan then, who've just been at like the wrong end of a couple of close calls, you know. So like, having that early momentum is huge for us, and it just shows how competitive Division 2 is, because we went away and beat Loud, and then Loud went away and beat Derry. And if you were to look at the three teams, you'd be scratching your head then if you look at the point difference, you know. So it just shows how competitive it is. And like, even looking towards Sunday now with Meath, like, we've had great battles with them now over the last couple of years. Like, so, geez, it's going to be a great battle on Sunday. But it's just been funny. It's almost been tit for tat in terms of results against each other.
You had a really entertaining game with them in the league earlier on this year too.
Yeah. We put a huge emphasis on like home importance and like keeping we're undefeated at home. That Meath game was a big challenge for us, I suppose. It came in the arguably the toughest game in the league, is that kind of fourth game in the middle of the three game block. We had Meath who were flying all year, and obviously there was unreal in the All-Ireland Championship, and John, they beat us in championships. We knew it was going to be a big test, but in fairness, the atmosphere that the fans gave us, the support that day, was incredible. It gave us an extra kick, and obviously, look, we backed it up with a performance ultimately, and it did come down to one or two players at the end, but winning a tight game like that was huge for us. But then secondly, doing it at home in front of the crowd was brilliant. Do you know the kind of expression, you earn the support? But like, we were delighted that we got a big win, but it was on home side and the crowd were able to enjoy it, but they also spurred us on the game, and that was a big thing for Cork football and for the narrative around us as well.
Panel seems to be in a good place. You had good players to bring into matches. The depth of the panel.
So, like, if you're looking from an outside perspective, but from a Cork like perspective, you know, you have two teams there: 2019 minor and 2019 Cork 20s group. So you have two All Ireland winning teams there, and that's really the backbone of the team. And obviously, you've a couple of experienced players that have been thereabouts the last couple of years. And obviously, you have your leaders like your Brian Hurley, your Brian Driscoll, your Rory Dean, etc. Micheál Mairn. Like, there's winning players in the dressing room, and like, the depth has been built by John Cleary there over the last 3-4 years. And like, if you've been looking at the club championship the last couple of years, like, players like David Buckley have really put their hand up. You know, we've been building that strength, and like, we've been on good. It's a tricky one. Like, we've had some big wins over the last couple of years, and like, those wins propel you into the following year, and we've different players putting their hands up. But I suppose our depth has really been seen this year with a couple of injuries, but also like, the league is a marathon, and like, you need your 20 to 26 players, and like, we've really shown that this year at different times, so different players putting their hand up. I suppose between, obviously, you've me on Aaron and Pat on, and then obviously like, you look at Sean Brady, Sean Meehan, Joe, different players coming at different times, you know. And that's kind of like been our motto all year, John, and next man up.
John Cleary's passion for Cork football endures too.
Yeah. If anybody's at a game anyway, they can see that passion coming out in leaps and bounds left and right. John's an incredible man, like, from what he's achieved as a player and as a manager. I suppose some of the team would have had him even at Cork under 21, and obviously being obviously a Castlehead man as well with a couple of lads there. But like, Cork, or John lives and breathes Cork, like, and he wears on his sleeve, like, and you know, like, we really revel around him. Like, he's a terrific leader, terrific manager, and like you have some memorable moments, but he's done a superb job there the last couple of years, I suppose, taking it from where we were, which was a tough position there, and I think it was a 22, you know, potentially facing Talton Cup, to where we are now. Like, it's been a long journey, but like, he's guided us through that, like, and I can't speak highly enough for the man, to be fair. And like, bringing it back, like, there'll be no different on Sunday. Like, there'll be effing blinding hats flying, you know. That's just the way he is, like, but he, you know, he's just that passionate man, and that feeds into us on the pitch as well, like, you know, Harrington just feeds stuff, like, and to bring it back to Sunday then with Tyrone, like, you know, we were willing to die for that promotion, like, and that really comes from John, you know.
He brought in expertise too, being Kevin Walsh, an ex-intercounty manager and an accomplished midfielder in his playing days. Have you benefited from his guidance, his approach too?
Yeah, in fairness, John's done a terrific job in just adding to the management team every year. And just from Kevin Walsh himself, like, he's a terrific coach. He's actually introduced, you think you know something, and then a new voice comes in and you have a completely different perspective on it. And I think Kevin Walsh has done that for us over the last couple of years, like introducing kind of like different styles, different, like, obviously I know he's overbooking and all that, like, but you know, he's been brilliant for the group. We've learned plenty off him, and you feel like you're learning every year, and the rules have played a factor in that as well, but the rules change and under this management team as well, you know, so like you have to like learn and adapt. Jesus, Kevin Walsh has been brilliant for me as a player, but he's also been brilliant himself for the team. Like, he's a terrific coach, and the CV backs that up with both Galway and Sligo anyway, outside of his own accomplishments as a player. But yeah, he's been terrific. But the same to be said to Jim O'Donoghue, Barry Parkery, Kevin Murray now this year, you know, John's done a brilliant job of adding every year and, you know, freshening things up, and we feel like we've improved year on year. You know, we've had setbacks, but like John always takes a new approach every year, and I feel like, you know, that we're reaping the rewards of that this year with promotion, you know.
Growing up with the Bears, there was always someone with an All-Ireland club or inter-county around. It must have been a good grounding to get in Gaelic games.
Just being from Talker, like, and playing for the Bears. Obviously, when you're younger, you don't have a clue what you're doing. You're just going around, running around, kicking around. But you know, as you grow older, you understand the tradition and the calibre of player that's in the club on a day-to-day basis. You know, I would have been lucky enough growing up, you know, under the tutelage of Mick Cummins there, who would have taken, you know, like my own personal agent, brought us all the way up to minor. There's such tradition in the Bears club, and as the older you get, the more you understand it. But then having to be like, I was lucky enough to play alongside Michael Shields, who is one of the most accomplished Cork players, captain, you know, leader, and just, geez, I owe so much to him in terms of what I learned both as a player and even from like a leadership perspective as captain. You know, I can't thank him enough. But that kind of history is something to be, I suppose, we're very proud of. And I suppose it's something that we've tried to translate into the club with, you know, recent success, even from both football and hurling, you know. And look, there's been a terrific culture that we've built over the last couple of years. And, you know, we were obviously a bit unlucky this year against England. But, you know, every year, the Cork Championship is so competitive. Like, there's plenty of clubs in Emore and all different, you know, from our neighbours across the way in Castlehaven, that, like, there's a good Cork footballing tradition there at club level and county. And just bringing it back to the Bears once again, like, you know, having the likes of JBM involved this year, like, has been, you know, unreal learning from past legends. And, like, funny story, like, I would have played senior hurling years ago, and, like, one of the people involved, his name is Chris Surrey, and, like, and he's one of the most decorated club players of all time. Like, there were just things you almost take for granted in our club, you know, just how incredible this tradition is, like, you know, and you almost feel like you need to add to that tradition, you know, as a player currently playing now.
You're doing a bit with an underage team.
I'd be killed now if I take credit for helping out with the underage. That's only the odd bit with the under-15s. I feel like I'd be murdered there now if I said that, like, because there's other fellas, in fairness, do terrific work. Sherlock was actually with the 16s last year, and a good few of the lads, we, you know, there's plenty of lads we try and get back into underage teams, you know, from, you know, anybody that's on the senior intermediate team trying to help under 12, 13, 14. So, like, that's something that's been brought in the last couple of years, which is great. My own time when I was a minor, I remember, like, Ross O'Dwyer would have been full-back for the senior team, and he would have been one of the coaches, and that's kind of, like, how it's worked in the Bears the last couple of years. Like, so I don't attach my name to an underage team, but that's kind of how it's worked in the Bears. So there's always lads getting involved at the younger age, trying to bring them through, along with the coaches there. And Kevin Murray is just an example of a previous coach who's, like, was involved with the minors the last couple of years as well, you know. That's kind of like how we've worked in the club.
Finally, just on Stephen Sherlock, getting him back in with Cork is a big addition, and he kicked some vital scores in this league campaign to date.
And not Stephen is he's a super player. He's been unbelievable for the club, and he's had plenty of good days with Cork before this year anyway himself. And, you know, look, he took a step back. So he just stepped aside last year, and like, he's been a brilliant addition this year. Like, anybody that knows Steve, he's almost as valuable on the pitch as he is off the pitch as well, in terms of the dressing room, you know. And like, it's brilliant. Like, the new rules have been so beneficial for a lot of counties, but, like, just for the game itself, and, like, a player as skillful, as talented as Steve, just, like, being able to see him flourish under new rules is brilliant. It's great from a club it's great from a playing perspective as well, but even from a visual perspective. But Steve works as hard as anyone, you know, and he's really worked hard to put himself in the position he's in now, and it's great just to see how brilliant he's playing at the moment. But, like, even bringing it back to the club last year, like, he was our captain, he was incredible, you know, and it's great to see. But it's also, like, for people, like, you know, so different other players, like, you know, they see the ability to kick long distance, you know, but Steve works so hard, like, both in terms of his fitness levels, but, like, the amount of work he puts in terms of his kicking, like, is, I see it firsthand, obviously, being a good friend of his. And, like, he like, the people see the easy part with Thomas putting the ball over the bar on a Sunday, like, but the level of work that man puts in is incredible, like, and, you know, I can't speak high enough of his work rate. And again, furthermore, his passion for the game is incredible. Like,
yeah, great stuff from Cork football captain Ian Maguire there. He'll have a huge clash with me tomorrow at 2:15. But it's time now to hear from the gaffer, that is John Cleary.
You know, when come back to when I came in and we came in, the first thing we went to do was steady the ship, you know. And then when we felt we had that done, then it was the case of, look, to try and could we drive on for promotion, you know. But we realised it wasn't easy. You know, felt last year, you know, the down game got away from us. If we had won that, I felt we were, you know, it was a game we should have won. And if we should have been kind of like this year, we could have ended up with 6 or 8 points starting and put us in a... But the last couple of years, we hadn't been nearly out of it before by losing one of the first couple of games. And it was something that we spoke about and tried to arrest this year. And even though we got a difficult draw in the league, we felt the easier games were front-loaded, and we could get it off to a start and put maybe 6 or possibly 8 points on the board. Now, that nearly came a cropper, the cabin match. But once we did that, then I think, look, it gave confidence. And it's very hard to play catch-up in Division 2 there. But, like, definitely it was something we were aiming for. And, you know, the longer it went on, it was getting more frustration, but we realised that it was very difficult to do it. And even looking, say, the teams that are going to be there next year, you know, it's not going to be any easier. So there's going to be good teams in that second division next year that won't come up either. So when you get there and you're fighting, it's difficult. And I suppose, look, to answer your question, look, we wanted to get out of it, and we're delighted to get out of it.
You mentioned the word frustrating there. Like, could you see that in the players at any point?
I don't think so. I think, look, everybody realised that everyone, you know, was putting their shoulder to the wheel. And a couple of years there, like, we had 8 or 9 injuries, which, and we were throwing in guys maybe that weren't fully ready for it. And I think this was the first year maybe when we had, bar the Derry match, we had only 2 or 3 out of our 30 plus players that were out. So I think that made an awful difference, you know. And it, you know, it helped with the training, and it helped with the games, and it helped definitely with subs coming on that made a difference in a lot of our games. So yeah, I think that made an awful lot of difference this year.
And again, as much as you're willing to admit, I know after the Derry match your focus was very singular, it was on Kildare, and then it was on Tyrone and not what was happening elsewhere. But did you think you collectively affected after the Derry match that it was
yeah, look, I suppose at the back of your mind it was, but, like, you always know there's a twist and turn in these campaigns, you know. Going up to the last day, for example, last year, we were playing Cavan, and if Cavan had got a point, they were promoted, you know. So sometimes when guys are, you know, teams are coming to the end of their campaign there, the pressure is on them if they're near the top, and even guys that are near the bottom as well, there's an extra effort in them as well. So we thought it would have been very frustrating if we'd got to 12 points and not be promoted, and it might have looked like that. But look, all we did was, we had the break after the Derry game, we got a lot of work done on that, and we focused on the 2 games, and that's all we could do at that stage. If we had 12 points, which we had, we would have still had a very good league. You know, the Derry game, you know, It's very, very hard to win the whole lot of the games and go. We were going up to Derry, up to Tyrone, so we would have been still pleased, but maybe disappointed that you hadn't got promotion. So, look, 12 points, I think we deserved it anyway.
I might just ask one more. Ian McGuire gave an interview to Croke Park today, as have all the participating teams, and so they're running it, and he was saying, just for the group to be able to consistently win games and back-to-back, because he himself admitted that this team is known as kind of a one-win, one-loss team. They have that tendency to kind of go high and go low with their performances. And he was saying just psychologically for every player, it's massive that we know that we can be consistent. Can you stress how important it is that they know that and they can feel that and see that, that yeah, we can be a consistent team. We don't have to be this team that, you know, kind of...
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it was a thing that we... Before the season started, we zoned in on it, really. And, you know, psychologically, we had done some work because, you know, we could come along and beat, you know, Donegal, beat Armagh, beat, you know what I mean, beat that. And then the following day, maybe to a lesser team that we mightn't perform and mightn't win, you know. So, again, I think it was part of the journey and part of the evolution that we would try and get over that. I'm not saying we're out the other side either, you know, yet, but I do think, you know, the very fact even coming back after the Derry game and winning the two games, I think will help, you know, a lot in that. And winning then... you know, the four games on the trot at the start, I think, you know, that definitely boosted confidence and helped no end. And the other thing there was, I think it was the first time in a long while that we'd won all the home games, which was an aim at the start of the year. Look, you know, sometimes people will say you've long journeys up, but the teams that are coming down have long journeys as well, so we should be making advantage of that all the time. So, you know, those were things that we had in our mind at the start of the campaign, and you know, thank God we just about delivered on it, you know.
As competitive as it is down in Division 2, John, are you always likely to be somewhat handicapped or hindered when you try to make that next step from there?
As regards travel and
things. In terms of kind of going into the latter stages of championship, are you handicapped in terms of having that exposure to the top teams?
I think, look, for, you know, Division 2 has been fierce competitive, you know, the last couple of years. You know, you had a case there, was it Dublin won from Division 2, you know, you had Derry competing very well. The teams that were at the top of Division 2 were actually going on to the latter stages of the championship, Dublin winning it, for example, you know. So, we'll never know, like, what until next year now, what it's like to get the, you know, Division 1 exposure. But look, as far as we were concerned in Division 2, and I suppose at times we were going to difficult venues, you know, more than like the likes of RD. You know, we went up to play Monaghan last year in Inniskill, and it wouldn't be the stadium type venues, and you know, and it's maybe that bit difficult there on local grounds. The home team has the advantages, whereas probably with Division 1 teams you're probably, you know, playing in then the bigger, better stadiums. And but look, that's what the way it was, and that was another challenge we had to try and get over.
Just on the comments that were made a while back by Kieran McGeaney about the new kickouts, and I think he described it as piggery, basically, and kind of the, as almost like a bit of a lottery when the ball goes in and there's a mishmash of bodies. Would you go along with that? Like when you've got a midfield as formidable as Ian McGuire and Colm O'Callaghan, do you feel a bit more in control of your own destiny?
Well, look, the kickouts are you know, they're such a vital part of the game now, and I suppose the ideal scenario for everyone is can get their quick kickouts away, can they find a man? But when the press now is so. You know, is so good by all the top teams that you probably haven't. Every team is just going into a cluster, and at least if they lose it, they're not completely open in the back, and they have a chance of competing. And I think, look, that's just the way it's gone. If I was to say, without that rule, what's the alternative? Mm. You know, it's not a case that teams are not able to push up or whatever, and you're giving it to cornerback. So I think, look, that's just the way the new rules, one of them, and you got to accept it, and it's you'll win some, you'll lose some. I think what's the average kick out winning between 50 and 60%? And that's because the oppositions are so good at pressing up, and I think that's another thing that has come into the game, which is quite good, I think, you know.
Just on Sunday, is there anyone who's doubtful, any injuries, fresh injuries from Sunday?
For Sunday, Matty Taylor is out now. He'll be missed the Munster Championship as well, unfortunately, you know. So broke his collarbone against Kildare. And Sean Brady probably won't make the weekend, and Carlo Manny is hamstring as well. So that's very rare with those lads.
Is that the recurrence with Carl? Is it the same hamstring?
He's had quad and he's had hamstring. So yeah, it's not the same injury all through, but different versions, and you know what I mean. So
okay.
he's not out. He should be back for the championship. He's just missing next Sunday now, you know.
Okay.
Meade on Sunday in Croke Park, obviously you only met a few weeks ago in Park Ewing. It was a bit of like a basketball match that day. Do you think it'll be something similar this weekend, John?
Yes, I suppose. Look, Meade are very formidable. We knew there that it was a key game in our campaign. Turned out to be as well. It was the only game that they lost. They've been very impressive. And so I think it'll be an open, free-flowing game. You know, they've scored a lot of two-pointers. We've scored a lot of two-pointers. Probably in Croke Park, there'll be a lot of room. So I suppose depending on wind conditions and things like that. But I'd expect something similar to the last day, yeah.
They have played in Croke Park a good few times this year because it's their home venue this season. Do you think that gives them a slight advantage on Sunday?
I'm not sure, you know. We played in Croke Park last year. You know, we've played out here in Parky Keeve several times, which is not too dissimilar. So, you know, look, it's where you want to be playing. It's where the final is, and I don't think it will.
Just you mentioned the stadiums and Monaghan and Louth, I suppose, playing in kind of provincial grounds. Haven't played the last few games in Parky Rain. Have you put thought into, is that something you'd be doing more of, going into Championship or even going up to Division 1 next year?
No, I don't think it's something we'll be doing the championship anyway, you know. The Limerick game now is here. Mm-hmm. So there's one scenario down along the line, I think, is that if there's a concert here, so we could be back in Parky Ring. So that was kind of one of the reasons, maybe, that if we were. We haven't even thought about next year yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll take that, you know, we'll see how that pans out, you know.
In terms of gaining promotion and having that Division 1 to look forward to next year, does it kind of make the time put in, the few years, the sacrifices, the, I suppose, you know, signing up for another term, does it kind of make it all worth it, having that kind of landmark achievement?
Yeah. Look, it's as I said, it was a tough couple of years there, but it was our aim, and we kept at it. You know, the lads are very resilient as well, in fairness to them. Mm. And we try to push the boat out a small bit further every day, every year. But we did realise, like, the competition is, you know, is hot and heavy. There's not a lot of difference between, I would think, the top of Division 2 and Division 1. And we realised, look, you need to get a break. You need to have everything right, first of all. Maybe avoid a few injuries, get a bit of luck along the way. And probably those factors then came into play for us this year. Maybe the last couple of years we didn't have those.
How important is it, winning silverware? Do you try and keep an eye on championship? Or can you focus?
Yeah, look, we'd love to win on Sunday. You know, the most important thing was last Sunday. You know, last Sunday was a more important game than next Sunday. And then the championship is coming soon after that again. We'll be going up there to win, make no bones about that. But we'll just see how it pans out on the day. I would say the championship game 2 weeks later is more important than next Sunday as well. So, but look, at least there's 2 weeks between it. If it was the case last year, the year before, there was just a week. We'll be definitely going to win it and you know, putting our best foot forward, and we'll see from there.
You had a message to the Cork fans before the Meade and Kildare games, and it worked. Have you a message to the Cork fans?
Absolutely, yeah. We felt definitely the day against Meade, when the game was close, it was coming down, you could hear the roar and from the stand, and it definitely helped us. And even last Sunday, you know, like, the support we got above in Tyrone was exceptional, you know. and even, as I said, coming down the home straight, the roar from the stand, they were very vocal, you know, so, and we just hoped in, you know, that they'll travel on Sunday, and hopefully we'll give them something to shout about, because I think they've latched on now over the last three or four games, and it's nothing but a help to us.
The last day I spoke to you, John, you were saying that you made no changes to your squad in the last few games. So I'm wondering now, looking to Sunday against Meath, is there any change, or have you thought about the squad yet?
Well, we'll see about this now after the week's training. Well, we did make six changes for the Derry game, so so I think we've used 29 or 30 players in the league. So, and it's very much week to week. You know, we train there, and next thing you go out and you have a team in your head the start of the week, and you get two injuries and you have to change it. So it's something that we'll think about there, maybe Thursday or Friday when we finalise it together, and we'll see who's available and take it from there.
And looking from like the league to the championship, will it be the same, just how they're performing in training?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I suppose, look, what you do is look from game to game. We have you know, from the last day, we'll be looking how guys perform to see how they will, how we line up for the next day, and that goes on. And the games were coming so thick and fast there that the training couldn't have been that hard, because we had, by Sunday now, I think we'll have 8 games in 10 weeks. So the amount of hard training, or the amount, looking at guys, you wouldn't be able to do an awful lot, because it was a case of rest and recovery for a lot of it. But we did get a lot of work done in our camp. And but we're looking at fellas all the time to put their hands up and see who can give us something else.
And is there like a difference in how much you train for like a league match or league final compared to the championship?
Not really, no. It's the training starts in November. It's set out then really what your plan for the whole year, and you know the S&Cs and the coaches will have a plan, and we kind of stick to that. It doesn't vary, and a lot of it is done pre-season, the heavy slog stuff, and then it's game to game and trying to keep fellas fresh and to keep them on tune.
Yeah, and that was Cork football boss John Cleary there. We've got the win over Meath last two times we've played them. Hopefully tomorrow we make it 3 in a row against them, especially in Croke Park with the trophy on the line. Plenty to get through on the show. Stay with us as we hear from Cork fullback Daniel O'Mahony in the second half. Don't go anywhere.
The Big Red Bench. Cork. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 25 minutes or so. Now, keeping with the league football final tomorrow, here's Cork footballer and excellent fullback Daniel O'Mahony speaking to Tommy Rooney at the launch of the Munster Football Championship.
All right, it's brilliant to be joined by Daniel O'Mahony of Cork at the Munster Championship's launch here in FBD Semple Stadium. Keeping good?
Keeping great, yeah.
We're catching up at the end of March. You've got a league final and you've got championship coming straight afterwards. Let's start with the positives here. The league final, promotion to Division 1. A huge shot in the arm for Cork football.
Yeah, look, it's an exciting time of the year. Promotion to Division 1, something we've been chasing the last number of years, to finally get over the line and get up is massive. But job's not finished, I suppose, so looking forward to the weekend now.
You could see the celebrations at the end of the game in Omagh when you got the job done. It meant so much to you.
Yeah, it meant a massive amount. Like, you've got guys, you know, the likes of Ian McGuire, Brian Hurley, Matty Taylor, like, you know, soldiering for years and years and years, unable to get up to Division 1. So now to actually get up there was a huge relief, first and foremost. But then when it kind of set in, like, just the excitement was massive, yeah.
You're facing a Meath team now in the league final. I've always kind of described Division 2 as a purgatory of sorts for teams that want to push themselves to the next level. So you've gone there now, you've gone to Division 1, you've got the Munster Championship ahead of you now. I know Limerick is the first job, but where do you think you can drive Cork to, Daniel?
Yeah, look, it's still early days to be talking about that, really, I suppose, just with the league finished. But I suppose we've set out to do everything we want to do so far this year. You know, promotion to Division 1 is obviously first on the list. So we'll go and attack the Munster Championship now and see where we're at after that, I suppose.
What happened against Derry?
Yeah, look, Derry was a tough game. Those are going to come though, I suppose, there's new rules, I think.
Like, it's close, just to remind people, it's close at half time and you end up losing 131-14.
Yeah, to be honest, look, I think we probably lost that game in the first half, though. It was a massive win there, so it was close at half time when we were down. It was 2 or 3 points, I think. But that being said, with the win there, you'd want to be up 6 or 7 points at that stage to actually compete in the second half. But I think it was just kind of a number of factors didn't gel for us in the day. And with the new rules, like, a team as good as Derry will punish you under those circumstances, like, and that's what happened.
We've seen that at times, maybe most notably Kerry in the All-Ireland quarter-final last year against Armagh, or six downers, this big 14-point swing. When they get the run, yeah. Paddy Andrews reckons on the football pod the teams are getting away with murder, that there has to be a way under the new rules to kill a bit of momentum or have some sort of dark arts, but maybe there isn't, is there?
Yeah, look, like, that's obviously a trend. You know, you're seeing teams get their purple patch and really take advantage of that, and I suppose it's just trying to win primary possession, win the ball back is the biggest thing, but how you go about actually dismantling that purple patch is another thing. I know, do you know you'd be thinking away, is there to try and kill a bit of momentum, but
sure, you have a couple of tricks up your sleeves that we might see down the line. Look, when I look at the Cork team, and maybe John Cleary and Kevin Walsh have been involved with you for a couple of years, it's such a massive step in the right direction to get up to Division 1 and to now compete in Championship and where you want to get to. The new rules, it suits your squad, it strikes me. You've big men, you've plenty of shooters, and you've got one-on-one defenders as well. What do you pride yourselves on in that Cork dressing room?
Yeah, look, to be fair, we are looking at athleticism as a big thing that we've got going for us, and obviously we've got the good shooters. I think what we pride ourselves in is the work rate. Like, you know, it's that one kind of intangible that you can, once you have and once you go after it, it'll pay dividends. Like, so work rate's the one thing we pride ourselves in. But yeah, I think obviously you've got those traits, but then you have to go and take advantage of them. But yeah, you could say that the new rules do suit us some bit. Yeah.
You've got number three in your back the majority of time with the Cork footballers. Under these new rules, there's a lot of space around you, there's a lot of one-on-one defending. Can you just talk us through maybe your attitude to that and what you're like when you're talking out with the number three jersey? Because it's a heavy jersey, you need big shoulders to wear that one in Cork.
Yeah, look, obviously with the new rules playing the full back line, like, you're going to have more 1v1 duels. Now, to be honest, I thought there'd be more ball sprayed in, but at the moment we're probably seeing a lot of kind of slower attacks, teams going for two pointers, so you may be less kind of 1v1 defending in that sense. You've got a good bit out around the arc, but yeah, look, hopefully, like, come the summer, like, you might see a bit more ball spread inside into the full back line.
And when there is that bit more kicking, just for maybe young fellas and young lassies listening at home, when you are in the full back line and there's kicking coming in from far out, what do you need? Like, is it a mentality thing? Do you need to be aggressive in your defending, or what way do you have to approach it?
I think the first thing really is probably think about the way you play the game yourself, what your strengths are, and then try and play to those strengths. And then probably try to think and try and improve on, just for kids at home, like, trying to improve on those little aspects of your game that'll, let's say, for example, for me, it's the first few yards are massive. Like, so obviously trying to read the ball and then trying to time your run and get in front of those first few yards. So working on that is massive, like, I think. And yeah, I think looking at what the best defenders are doing and trying to mirror them is important too.
The final one, we're just chatting before the league final. You bet Meath and Páirc Rinn this year. I think Páirc Rinn is a place that you like playing football as much as Páirc Cuíve. What a beautiful stadium. Two great options to have. The Meath game, there's a lot of brilliant last-ditch defending and blocking too. Where's that coming from?
I think that was probably just a bit of want, to be honest, a bit of desire, which obviously is massively important. Like, we've built up a nice little rivalry with Meath. I know you're a Meath man, over the past number of years. So yeah, look, it should be a cracker at the weekend, and hopefully we can have that kind of want and desire again.
Daniel Mahoney, well done on the success so far. Best of luck in the league final and in the Munster Championship, and hopefully catch you soon and off the ball.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Yeah, and best of luck and safe travels to all the Rebels heading up to Croke Park tomorrow for that one. Throwing at 1:45. Moving on now to the Energia AIL updates.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
Not a great day for the Cork sides in Division 1A. Cork-Con, they were on the road facing Terenure. The Dublin side won out 21 points to 5 there. In Division 1B, Highfield were hammered 24 points to 53 against Blackrock College, while UCC finished behind Enstonians 17 points to 19. And those Energia AIL updates are thanks to Energia. Think of the possibilities. Moving on to a bit of swimming now, and Dolphin Swimming Club are hosting the Ellen Cassidy Memorial Gala tomorrow at the University of Limerick Arena Pool. The gala is in memory of Ellen, who sadly passed away this year. Mick McCormack was Ellen's coach at Dolphin, and he was chatting with Rory.
Delighted to have you on, Mick, because it's obviously a big week for the club with the Ellen Cassidy Memorial Gala, which is happening on Sunday in the University of Limerick. But first off, I just want to talk a little bit about Ellen, I suppose, and like the void she's left, I suppose, in the club over the past year, and how you've all dealt with it, and I suppose how all her teammates and her family and friends are doing at the moment.
Yeah, and Ellen's passing did leave a huge void, obviously. I think it's more brought to home because Ellen's brother and sister were still a real big part of the club for so long as well. Charlie is still with me full time every single morning. Charlie's training with me in some afternoons and whatever, and Charlie's trying to balance work, part-time obviously, training, which is full-time for Charlie, and college life as well as everything else, family, social, girlfriend, everything. Ellen's never off anyone's mind,
yeah.
Whether it's because of reminders with Charlie or Mary and all of her friends that are in Dolphin, but also Tom and Vi and everything around the club, because Ellen's picture is still on the walls up there from the last decade and beyond, and everyone is, you know, Ellen is still seen as one of the beacons of one of the top athletes that's been in the club for so many years. She's like when we have someone who's represented Ireland or Munster, like they tend to be at they're pinned at the top of everything that goes out on social media or whatever, like, you know. So, but even aside from that, without all of those accolades, like, it's just having that fight of losing someone like Ellen, which is the main thing really, because of the person that she was and the influence that she had with so many people up there, young and old. It's irreplaceable, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I remember when she came into Red FM for an interview when she was one of the Marla Carina Rising Stars, and you were in with her as well, Mick, and she spoke so eloquently and passionately about what was her great passion. She was just an incredible young woman, which is with the world at her feet.
That's right. I mean, that was 2017, Rory. Mm. I think you invited myself and Ellen to come in and chat. And Ellen was, I remember she was quite nervous and anxious because she'd never spoken on the radio before that. And we both went into the studio and Ellen spoke, and it was like she was just a natural. She was just having a nice flowing conversation. But I think you even said it at the time, that her passion for the sport and for just this diligent person, it came out in spades. And actually, I remember after that, she was in because she was announced as the poster athlete for the Emerging Talent Programme, mm-hmm. which was UCC Mardyke. It was the first year of it, and Ellen was the poster athlete, and Red FM were sponsoring her, and she got great support that year. She thoroughly enjoyed it. She was on it again the following year, and she wrote a wonderful thank you letter at the end of that year into yourselves, into yep. you and into the radio station, just for the support that she had. I think actually the end of that season, Ellen finished up as an Irish international racing at the European Junior Championships in Helsinki, and Ellen being Ellen, she just acknowledged everyone's support rather than talking about how great she was in going yeah. off and actually achieving those things. It was all about acknowledging everyone else's support, and that was the selfless type of person that Ellen was.
Yeah, absolutely. I was blown away when I got that letter, and I was delighted. I still had it when I went looking for Ellen after she had passed away, and I was delighted to be able to send it on to you. It was a lovely letter, and it was just such a lovely, lovely touch. But I suppose Sunday's gala is a very fitting way to pay tribute to Ellen.
Yeah, it is. You know what? Like, we had so much going on in the last year, good and bad. I mean, for the last few years, the club's been in an extremely good place. We're the top club in the country right now. I think we hold every trophy that's available that we've been at, which is great. And yet, we've got this void, and there's something that we just wanted to commemorate Ellen's memory, keep her legacy alive, keep her name alive, in as many ways as possible. Like I said before, I said recently many times that there's not very much that you can say about Ellen that hasn't been said already, but this is something that she would have loved, you know, having something in her memory, yeah. A big meet like this up in Limerick, because it's too big to host in Cork, and to be able to go, like, I mean, there's clubs coming from all four provinces in Ireland. We've got Olympians, we've got former Olympians, Andrew Bree, who's the RT commentator, former Olympian, European medalist. He's going to come down and commentate. When I suggested to Andrew Bree, would he come down and commentate, he was no questions asked. I'm there, absolutely, yeah. Delighted you asked. And like, Andrew Bree's a legend in Irish swimming. Ellen Walsh, Ireland's top female athlete, Olympian, European world medalist. She's going to be racing at it. She wanted to come down. She asked, could she come and race at this meet? We've got a world record holder, Roisin Leireann, is going to be racing. Some of our own guys, top guys, Jack Casson, Charlie Cassidy, Ellen's brother, Tiger O'Brien, all international swimmers. Like, there's a phenomenal field of swimmers coming to race at this event on Sunday. And it's even more telling because they're all racing at the Irish Open and Commonwealth Games trials in 2 weeks' time, where usually they would never race 2 to 3 weeks out from a big competition, and they're all just putting that aside and they're all coming down. They all want to be part of it. And some people who can't swim because of injury or whatever, they're coming down just to help out. It's phenomenal. It's a huge show of love.
Yeah, it just shows you the regard in which Ellen is held to this day, which is absolutely fantastic. So look, I'd imagine the organisation that you're doing as a club is, it's been a hectic couple of weeks, I suppose, getting all this together.
Yeah, it has. Martin Leahy is looking after, he's running the show for us. He took charge of the whole thing. Like when I kind of asked for this thing to take place last year, we knew that it was going to be a bit of a struggle to even get the thing off the ground because there's so many boxes we need to tick. And Martin was straight in and said, look, yeah, I'll help run it. Put a little team together inside the club, and it's been non-stop for the last few months, organising just every small little detail, like, you know, all the officials, getting all the entries out. And we've got a fantastic gala secretary, Donald Mulville. Like, he has been inundated with entry requests and scratches and can I move this event, that event. Like, it's just been non-stop for a meet this size, and we're trying to fit it all into one day for the competition. We've got the Ellen Cassidy Perpetual Cup and the Ellen Cassidy Shield. One is for the top female 200 backstroker, and the other is for the top overall points club, so the top club at the meet, donated by the Cassidy family. Very kindly donated by the Cassidy family, two fantastic prizes. And hopefully we'll get to do this every year, but for this year we're just concentrating on what's happening Sunday. We get this one done first. But I just think it's such a fitting tribute to Ellen, and we can see, and to the Cassidy family in fact, because the whole family is held in such high regard. That's the big thing, and it'll be great to see them down there on Sunday.
Yeah,
100%. And celebrate with all of us.
100%. And I know there's a bit of fundraising as well going on, Mick, kind of around the Cork City Marathon as well.
So that's the big one, okay? And like, there's so much going on around the marathon, the Cork City Marathon this year, because of Ellen's involvement there last year as well. And there's a lot of fundraising happening. There's been a new Instagram page set up, and I'd love if people could go in and follow it. It's a simple name, The Ellen Cassidy Effect. Ellen Cassidy, EFFECT. It's on Instagram. There'll be a lot of stuff shared around different photographs, different things that are going on, videos, different fundraising initiatives. Any fundraising that's brought in from the Cork City Marathon to the Ellen Cassidy Fund will be distributed fairly kind of evenly among some of the charities that were closest to Ellen. On the day, there's going to be over 70 runners running in memory of Ellen, all wearing yellow singlets. Like, it's just going to be the sea of yellow from what I gather. This is only 70 odd that have told us that they're running. I'd imagine there's going to be even more, because I know that there's a few more unofficial runners running for Ellen as well on the day. It's going to be fantastic, and at the Cork City Marathon's already like a blue ribbon event anyway, so this is just going to add even more to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely fantastic. The Ellen Cassidy Effect on Instagram if you want to check that out. Mick, thank you for talking to us again today. I know it's not easy, I know it's hard to talk about Ellen, but I suppose it's a very important way to keep her memory alive. And look, best of luck with the gala on Sunday. I've no doubt it's going to be an absolutely fantastic success.
Hopefully. And listen, thanks for everything as well, Rory, because you've always kept on top of everything that we're doing with the club, but also with Ellen as well. And from day one, you were extremely supportive, and I know how much she meant to all of you as well. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, brilliant touch and pace there. Moving on now to LGFA action. And tomorrow, the final round of the Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 1 fixtures sees relegation threatened. All-Ireland senior champions Dublin hosting League Leaders Cork in Parnell Park with a 2 p.m. throw-in. The Rebels have already qualified for this year's Division 1 National League final with the game to spare. So Joe McCarthy caught up with defender Sean O'Kelly to preview tomorrow's clash in the capital.
Now, on Sunday, March 29th, the Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 1, the final round of regular season games. The All-Ireland Senior Champions Dublin welcome Cork, the league leaders, and already through the league final itself to Parnell Park with a 2 p.m. throw. And to look ahead to that game and talk about Cork's fantastic season in the National League so far, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Ara Glen Desmond Bui's finest, Sean O'Kelly. Sean, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Hi, Ger. Good.
Good to talk to you again. It's been a minute, but let's start by saying congratulations. You're in a National League final, Division 1 League final, with a game to spare, 5 wins and a draw before you set up or head up the road to Dublin this weekend. Look, you've been involved in a lot of Cork teams, but for this particular group coming into this season, I'm being honest, I don't think it was expected. So what do you put this successful run down to?
I suppose just maybe a mixture of youth and experience. New players have come in, they've freshened it up, and I think they're driving all the older players that have been there maybe for 2 or 3 years and older again. So they've really kind of, I suppose, bought an intensity into training, and everyone's kind of working hard for their position because there's a lot of competition there.
Yeah, the first day out was a draw against Kildare. It was the first day of the new rules. It was new for everybody down in MTU Cork. But you got a draw and you got something out of it. But from that moment, you've won every game, including going up to Armagh, including going to Kerry. You know, Galway, your old rivals, will be meeting in the National League final. Waterford, me, these are good teams. Now, it is the National League, and I know it's March, and you'll be judged on the Munster Championship and All-Ireland Championship. But even so, it's been a terrific run. I mean, was there a particular moment or coming into a couple of games where you felt, okay, this is starting to click now, or has it been a gradual improvement?
I think we're just taking game by game and just trying to make improvements. I suppose the Kildare game probably could have gone either way. They were probably disappointed they didn't win. We were obviously disappointed that we didn't win, but we were lucky to probably get the draw. So we just tried to make an improvement on that game, and then we went on to Galway and just tried to get an improvement again, which we did, just got over the line, and then it was just about making small improvements and trying to improve and push on, I suppose.
And push on, you've done to reach a National League final with a game to spare. Now you're going up to Dublin, you're playing the All-Ireland Champions, and they're in relegation trouble. So there's a big onus on the Dubs actually to do well in this particular game. What's the mentality like? I know you're an experienced player, but for the panel as well, I mean, obviously you want to go up and you want to win the game. That's without question. But in the back of a player's mind, you wouldn't be human if you weren't thinking some little bit, look, we've got a National League final ahead of us, there's that cushion. How difficult is it to get the same mentality ready, you know, that you've done so in previous games, like going to Armagh, going to Kerry and getting wins on the road there?
Yeah, look, as I said, we've so much competition that, you know, every player wants to go out and play their best. And of course, we obviously want to win. And we know Dublin, look, they're all Ireland champions. They're going to be really prepped for this game. So it's going to be a tough game. And I suppose that's what we want, to get ready for the league final against Galway, because we're going to be up against a big opposition there as well.
Does the exit from last year's All-Ireland matter, to the fact that it was Dublin and Parnell Park, or is this just a blank page again?
Look, it's a new year. I suppose a lot of the girls probably weren't even there last year, which is probably a good thing. But for the ones that were there, look, that it will be in the back of our mind, and that'll probably give us that extra drive, I suppose, to get a performance on the day.
You've been playing very well this year. I know you're not going to praise yourself, you never do, but you have been part of a very settled back line. That's the way I would put it to you. Now, the goalkeepers have been chopping and changing, and Joe's having a good look at different players in that position. But Melissa Duggan, Derek Hinnery and yourself in that full back line have been really solid. That's how I would describe it from the matches that we've covered on the Big Red Bench. In front, you've got Amy Corcoran, you've got Sy McGoldrick and Rosie Corkery. And to me, playing the same back six in the National League has benefited you and benefited the players around you. Now, players are coming in and out, it hasn't been the same six all the time, but that's really been pretty much from all the matches we've covered. Does it help that you're playing in the settled back line, and how good is this back six? Because I think, you know, forwards will get the glory, Anya Terry, Katie Quirk, they'll get all the headlines as they do in the press from the likes of us, but for yourself, and you've played in quite a few Cork teams, Am I right? Is it a settled backline and does it help heading into this this weekend's game?
Yeah, I definitely think it helps. I suppose you get to know each other's style, kind of build trust, which has definitely helped us in the game so far. So it definitely is a help. And of course, the girls that have come in the last few minutes as well have really stepped up for us too. Butcher, Melissa is brilliant. Dara, Rosie and Amy on the wings, they running up the pitch. So it's really, really good. And we all trust each other, which is the main thing.
You were bombing up and down that pitch as well when the opportunity arrived. I've noticed that. Have you a license to do that, or is Joe inclined to tell you to hang on there?
Yeah, I don't know if Joe loves it, but if I get my chance, I'll go.